The gospel that we just heard proclaimed is one of the most familiar gospels that is read each Sunday. The Beatitudes. And yet, as much as we are familiar with the text, I think we struggle to understand really what those words mean. The first thing I'd just like to say is that sometimes we mistake the Beatitudes for a to-do list. So we're supposed to be more merciful, more meek. We're supposed to be peacemakers. We're supposed to be poor in spirit, whatever that means, and so on. You know, you go home and you spend 20 minutes trying to do just the first one, and the results are pretty discouraging. Because you see, what's going on in this gospel isn't so much a to-do list that the Lord is giving us, but rather what He is describing is what a transformed human person looks like, sounds like, acts like, and is like. What happens to the human person who is transformed by grace? These Beatitudes are not to be achieved. They are to be received. And therefore, we should spend some time and really pay attention to what they're saying, but to continue to say, Lord, only You can do this in my life. I can't be poor in spirit out of my own flesh power. I can't really be meek or merciful or a peacemaker unless You work this in me. And so again, the first thing to say about these Beatitudes is simply this, that they are a work of God in us. They are a description of the transformed human person. What we become like when the Lord Jesus Christ really begins to live His life in us. I won't preach on all the Beatitudes, I promise. Because you know I could go on at great length about every one of them. I do want to mention three of them. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? And who are the poor in spirit? You know, that expression, the poor in spirit, had a very specific meaning at Jesus' time. We need to do a little homework, and I don't have time to do all of it with you today, but the expression, the poor in spirit, and the poor being blessed, seems to be an expression that came up among the Jewish people during the time of their exile. Because of their unfaithfulness, the Jewish people were conquered by the Babylonians and sent off into exile. They could no longer live in the promised land. They lived in exile. And up to that time, it was always said that whoever followed the way of the Lord would prosper. Some of the television ministers and others often talk about a prosperity gospel. But the Jewish people learned a hard lesson. That to the degree that they were living in a world that was far away from the mind and the heart of God, to the degree that they tried to really live their faith, they would often not prosper, but in fact suffer. Because the world would hate them. The world would try to destroy them. And very often those who tried to live the holiest lives would experience great trials and tribulations from the world. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is really the kingdom of God. They're blessed because of this, brothers and sisters. They prefer nothing, I said nothing, to the kingdom of God, to God and the things of God. Nothing that this world ever offers them could ever compare to the glory of knowing God, to the glory of knowing His kingdom and His rule and His reign in their life. Nothing, no earthly jewels, no earthly gifts, no earthly prosperity could ever compare to the joy of knowing the Lord God in their life. I heard my mother say, "You may have all this world, just give me Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Silver and gold, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." The poor in spirit are those who prefer nothing to God and the kingdom of God. And they are blessed because they have the kingdom of God, which is now available to us. But why are they called poor? Because, brothers and sisters, I promise you that to the degree that you and I really try to live our life solidly rooted in gospel values, preferring God to nothing and no one in this world, I promise you, we will be persecuted, hated, and not rewarded by this world. We will often have much to suffer. People will call us crazy. Some people, especially in the early church, because they accepted Christ into their heart, lost everything, were disowned by their families. Some of them were arrested, lost their jobs. Others were thrown to lions. Even to this day, many people suffer martyrdom and imprisonment because they prefer nothing to the kingdom of God. And we who live in a fairly religiously free society, even more and more, you and I are also beginning to experience ridicule and hatred more and more from the world, to the degree that we prefer nothing to the kingdom of God. You want to serve the world? The world's going to bless you. Money, popularity, prestige, all the things that the world can give. But brothers and sisters, all that ends. You want to be popular? Then you die. End of story. You want to be rich and famous? Then you die. End of story. But we are truly blessed if we prefer nothing to the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We will not always have the things that the world has. Take a man who's more concerned about his vocation as husband and father than he is about his career. The world may not reward him as much. He may not always get the promotion. He may not always get the overtime pay. But he's doing what really matters. He's raising his children in the fear of the Lord. He knows and he loves his wife and is supporting and encouraging her. He's present to her. The world will often say, "You're crazy. You won't get the promotion if you don't do the overtime. If your career isn't first." And the poor in spirit will say, "No, God is first. And my vocation is first, to be a Christian, a man, a disciple, a husband, a father. Or to perhaps be a mother, a wife, a disciple of the Lord." Nothing outranks the kingdom of God. And we may not get all the blessings of the world. But you know what, church? That's all right. That's all right. Because we're blessed. Because the kingdom of God is ours. And all that the Lord offers. I hope some of you are on this journey to be poor in spirit. To be able to say, "You know what? All that stuff doesn't matter that the world says matters. I just know the Lord. And increasingly in my life, it's enough. It is enough, Lord. Just to know You, the joy of Your kingship and Your lordship over my life, I thank You, Lord." More and more, we can really say, not just sing the words, but really mean the words, that I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The world may not reward us, but the kingdom of God will be ours. Blessed are those who mourn. Who are those who mourn? You see, brothers and sisters, when it really begins to dawn on us of the glory and the beauty and the majesty of what God is offering us, Right here, right now, in this church, in our prayer life, in our keeping of the commandments, when we begin to see how precious that is, and then we look and we see how many people in the world today are so misled by confusing and contradictory values, who are deeply and powerfully confused about why they were made, who don't know God, who don't know the beauty and the majesty of walking with God, then we weep and we mourn for them. How many of you have had to mourn for some of your children who are way off in the world somewhere and hardly know the Lord? Blessed are those who mourn. You'll be consoled. How many of us have ever just taken time and really prayed for God's people? I mean, really prayed, even fasted. Because we see the awful condition of so many of God's people, that they don't know God, that they don't know why they were made, that they're running after things that don't really matter and suffering the consequences. When was the last time you and I really prayed for God's people? I mean, brothers and sisters, even just to take a newspaper and just open it up and to start seeing crime, murder, theft, rebellion. Someone had a fire in their house. Someone was killed or murdered in Southeast. But to take that newspaper and really grieve and mourn over all the things that led to that, and to begin to pour out our heart. See, what happens to us is we just get cynical, don't we? Ah, the world's gone crazy. The world's no good. We just shake our fists and say, the world's gone crazy. Instead of just saying, I really need to pray. I need to pray for this family that lost their house because of a fire. I need to pray for that mother who lost her child to gunfire. I need to pray for the one who killed that youngster. I need to pray and to mourn over a world that is deeply confused, who do not know, so many who do not know the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. When the Lord Jesus Christ really begins to live His life in us, and He begins to transform us, more and more we become poor in spirit and prefer nothing to the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we begin to mourn that so many are misled, but also for ourselves, we begin to hunger and to thirst more and more for the things of God. You know, early in my life, I had to force myself to pray. I said, force myself. Now, I look forward to my holy hour every day. I'm hungering and I'm thirsting more and more for the Eucharist, for the Word of God, for union with God. I just thank God. That's His work. Is there a witness in here or any of you on that trail too? Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You see, the Beatitudes begin to come alive in us when we really begin to trust God and allow Him to live His life in us. We become poor in spirit. We begin to mourn like Jesus wept over ancient Jerusalem, who had missed the day of His visitation. We mourn with Jesus for the state of the world. And we pray earnestly for the conversion of sinners, starting with ourselves. And we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Brothers and sisters, these Beatitudes are a description of what begins to happen to us when we let the Lord into our life.